Our text tonight is a reference to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. It's a reference to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. The patriarch Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And you see how I did that? I said Jacob and Esau, which technically it was Esau and Jacob. I read this again before service, and I read here that Esau is firstborn. Esau is a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Daddy loved Esau, mama loved Jacob. Jacob sawed pottage, he made soup, and Esau came in from the field. This amazes me. It's kind of shaking me. I don't think I'm going to be able to convey it like I have it on my heart, but I'm looking at this text. You see, it's a little different than it is in our age. You know, this is something I actually worry about. I've got two daughters and I've got two sons that are growing up. My oldest daughter's 35 and she's 12, and it's just scary. It's 12 and going on 35. You understand? It's scary, and she's going to get married, and my sons are going to grow up, and Eden is, Lord have mercy, Eden is going to get married, and I don't know what I'm going to do without her. I'll be working at 1 o'clock in the morning and she'll bring me a cup of coffee for no reason. And I don't know that I'm going to have anything to give them, any money, any finances. We're going to try to fix that, but I worry about that. And a lot of times that's the way it happens with us. We survive and we say, you know, I put food on the table. I put a roof over your head and clothes on your back and shoes on your feet. Now you get out there, make some money and give me some. It didn't really work that way in the Bible days. Isaac was preceded by Esau. Esau's the firstborn. Esau is going to inherit the birthright. Esau is going to inherit the land and the possessions that Isaac has brought together. Now Jacob is going to get some stuff, but nothing like Esau. Esau is, he's the firstborn. He's got the birthright. Now I want you to think about this right here. When the Hebrews prayed, they prayed like this. They said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Jacob is not supposed to be there. That prayer was supposed to have been the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. I'm talking about it right now. Right now, thousands of years later, I'm telling you that it should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. It was God's plan. It was the way God had laid it out in the genealogies. And when I say it was God's plan, it was the way the people of God did a certain thing, the way the Hebrews did a certain thing. And it was supposed to be Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. It was supposed to be Father Abraham. It was supposed to be faithful Isaac. It was supposed to be Esau. Esau had a plan. God, he was going to be there. He was going to be an eternal blessing. He was supposed to be in the genealogy. We were supposed to read how the Jews prayed, Abraham, Isaac, Esau. But Esau is going to mess it up. And it's hard for me to believe this. He's going to inherit everything. The promise of God is upon Abraham. It passes to Isaac. It's supposed to pass to Esau. Esau's supposed to be powerful. Esau's supposed to be a progenitor of the Hebrew nation. But Esau is a man who is going to blow the blessings of God. So Jacob is making a pot of stew, of porridge, of some sort of soup. And Esau has been hunting all day, and he comes in and he says, I'm hungry, give me of your pottage, give me of your soup. And Jacob says, I can't wrap my mind around this either, but he says, give me your birthright. This is what he's saying. He is saying, give me all of Abraham Isaac's wealth. Give me the heritage. Give me the blessing. Give me everything that flowed upon the head of Abraham. You give me everything that's coming to you, and I will give you a bowl of soup. I'll give you a bowl. I don't care how good that soup is. And yet we blame Jacob. We make up stuff. We just talk about him like a dog. I think Esau's stupid. I mean, you say, well, he tricked him, really? Really, Pastor Lamb, can I have your Bentley? I'll give you a bowl of soup. That's stupid. I don't have a Bentley, in case you don't know. I'm just saying. It would be dumb for me to give you my vehicle for a bowl of soup. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. But you see, Esau is a man who is going to allow his emotions, a temporary need to destroy an eternal blessing that God had in plan for him. Now, I understand the predestinary issues of Jacob and the prophecies and all of that. I understand that, but I'm telling you this. I'm telling you, Esau was supposed to be the man. It shocks me. It amazes me how some of you, and our pastor's in the house tonight, and so just get ready. I don't understand why some of you make such permanent decisions over temporary issues. Over a whim, an emotional whim. I got to have it now. I just got to have her. And then you go to hell. I was actually watching a little documentary on a preacher today. He's pastoring a mega church. He's making millions of dollars. He divorces his wife. He gets another girl pregnant out of wedlock. He keeps on pastoring. And he says, what can I say? I'm a man. I'm a man too. But I'm a man of God. You know what? He decided, and they let him pastor. It just blows me away. But you see, where I come from in my world, when you sin like that, the anointing of God is removed from you. When you play games with God and you just trifle everything away, I'm not telling you that I've never sinned. I'm not telling you I've never thought or done. I'm not a perfect man, only one perfect man. But what I'm telling you is this. When we sin willfully, we're putting ourselves in great danger. The only reason I'm here tonight is the favor of God. The only reason I'm here tonight is the blessings of God. The only reason I'm alive tonight is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And when sin comes into the life, the hand of God is removed. I cannot trade the anointing of the Holy Ghost for a pot of soup. I cannot trade the favor of God for some temporary pleasure that's going to last for a few minutes and be over. It blows me away. I remember pastoring the church in Florida, and I had a young man that came to our church. He brought his wife, and they had a couple kids, and they were living in a trailer behind the church, and they were doing real good, and God called him to preach, and God was doing some wonderful things, and they let their mom and dad move in. Mom and dad, decent people, hard-working man, but they was trying to shift and get their business going. The dad was a working man. He was working. He was making money, and in about 1 week, he was going to move out and get his own house. The son comes to me and says, I'm going back to where I came from. I said, why would you do that? You've only been here for just a little while. You told me God told you to come here. I felt like God sent you here. We've got work to do here. And I talked to that boy for 2 hours. We wept. We cried. I ministered to him and his wife. We wept. We cried. 2 hours. We walked outside of my office into the foyer. We're still crying. He's still weeping. He's thanking me. He said, I appreciate you, Pastor. I can't believe it. God would give me a man of God like you that would counsel and help me. I promise you, 10 minutes after he walked out that door, I got a text message that said, we're leaving anyway. He never recuperated. He never recovered. He backslid, he back in. He backslid, they made him youth pastor. He backslid, he back in and out. And as far as I know, he is lost right now because he made a permanent decision over a temporary issue. You cannot live by your emotions. What I felt like. Well, I'll tell you what the Bible says about the heart. The Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. It is evil above all things. And the prophet said, who can know it? Only one can know the heart, and that is God. And just because you feel like doing something, because you felt like going somewhere, it doesn't mean that's the thing to do. There has been times I felt like getting up and leaving, but there were some roots down inside of me that I knew I could not leave because I couldn't make a permanent decision in a temporary situation. The worst time in the world to make a permanent decision is when you are surrounded by the enemy. You're in a warfare. You're in the furnace. And it's everything you can do to survive. You don't make laughter. You don't marry somebody when you're in the fiery furnace. We say, I've got my bills and I need a man. No. What you need is God. I can't live without a woman anymore. Sure you can. You've been doing it for a long time. You did it yesterday. You did it the day before that. You did it 3 months before that. What is the difference between 3 months ago and today that you can't live without her? Because you can live without her, but you can't live without God. And you say, well, she's a good person. It doesn't matter how good they are. If it's not God's will, you need to stay steady and stay single. Are you hearing me? And wait till God brings the right one along. You get mad, punch somebody in the mouth, and you think, I'm sorry. You busted all my teeth out. I forgive you, but I mean, you and me, we're not going to be tight for a while. You steal my wife? I'm not going to go there. That don't count. Not that one either. Some of y'all know me well. You know what I'm thinking right now. I'm leaving this church. I ain't never coming back. Why? Because I went to the altar last night and no one prayed for me. Now, you may feel like that's a valid reason. But I don't. And she came to me and she said, weeping, might I tell you, I'm leaving the church. I've been pastoring her for 5 years. Her ex-pastor called me and begged me to proselyte her. I'm not joking. Her ex-pastor called me and begged me to proselyte the whole family. I did. I said, give them to me. If they messed up, they right up my alley. They's messed up, they's up my alley. They're my daughters now. I love them. I'm leaving. I said, why are you leaving? She said, because I went to the altar to pray and no one prayed for me. And I said, do you think that if I went to the altar and prayed and no one prayed for me that I would resign the church? She said, no. I said, stupid, isn't it? She said, yes, it's stupid. She laughed and she kept going to church. Ended up going to Bible college. I didn't think she lasted 3 months. She lasted 3 years and graduated. What if she had left? People make permanent decisions all the time on a whim. They say, well, if it's God's will, then the loan will go through. Just because you go to the car lot, and just because you find a $40,000 car that you really like, but you can't afford, you know you can't afford it, you making $3.72 an hour. You barely can afford your food, and you're going to buy a $40,000 car. And the way you determine God's will is if the loan goes through or not. 6 months later, There's a dude out in your backyard. He's got a truck and a chain on it. He lifts your car up and takes off, and you come to church crying, saying, the devil attacked me. No, you attacked yourself when you on a whim borrowed $40,000 to buy a car when you should have been trying to buy ice cream for your kids. Somebody shout amen. We dig ourselves holes. We dig ourselves trenches. We get ourselves in the worst of trouble. We blame God. We blame the preacher. We blame a husband. We blame a wife. We blame Pastor Joe, Pastor Lamb, Pastor J. Day. We blame pastors from 30 years ago. I can't serve the Lord now, Pastor Lamb. Why? Because of the church that I went to 30 years ago. Somewhere, somehow, you got to get over that, brother. You got to get over that stuff, sister. You're making eternal decisions not to serve God over something that's done gone. You need to change your mind. That's what I come to preach about tonight. The power of a turning of the mind. That's what I want to talk to you about. Repentance is a powerful thing tonight. You see, I came across this text. The Bible says here about Esau, it said that he sought repentance carefully. He said he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears, with tears, with tears. I cry a lot. I like to cry. It doesn't bother me. I'll cry in the drop of a hat, drop the hat, and cry because I dropped it, and then whatever. I just like to cry. I'm an emotional guy. I hug people. I kiss people. I shake hands. I laugh. I play. I get mad. I'm an emotional mess. But I am amazed at how quick some people can turn the tears on and turn them off. I used to be touched by that as a pastor. And I'd be like, oh, Jesus, it's got it. And they'll cry and lie to you. I can't believe it. I didn't do it. And lying the whole time. Lie right to your face. Cry about everything that's happened in their life. And your heart just melting down. And 2 weeks later, you find out that everything they said was a lie. I'm telling you now, Esau was emotional. Esau, he wanted something. He cried about it. But all the crying in the world couldn't give him a change of mind. You can cry, you can weep, you can go to church, you can fall on the altar, but at the end of the day, you gotta turn. You gotta make a change in your mind. Somebody shout amen. The word repentance here is the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia. It means to turn, to change your mind. I've watched people, they're like, they're one way with one person and another way with somebody else. They come to church and everything's cool. Everything's copacetic. But they go home and it falls apart. And they wonder why. Because your mind is the same mind. I know you came to the tabernacle, and I must confess, it's one of the most powerful places on the planet. It's hard not to feel better coming into this church, but you need to change your mind, because when you get home, you're going to face a devil, you're going to face trial, you're going to face tribulation, you're going to face all kinds of junk, and you may not be speaking in tongues at the work site, but you're going to need roots, you're going to need to be steady, you're going to need to be established, and it's going to require you to have a change in your mind. There were 17 different men, and every single one of them were exactly the same guy. Different color hair, different name, fat, skinny, tall, short, old, they all the same. You think that you're going to change. You see, I don't know a whole lot about computers, but I do know this. I bought a new computer a while back, and it came with what's called default settings. I love to use Word Perfect as my what I type with. And Word Perfect has default fonts. So when you just open up the Word Perfect program and you start typing, it's going to probably be Times Roman. Probably. Okay, that's the default setting. Now, when I'm writing and I don't like Times Roman, I can jump up there and I can highlight it and I can put Arial. And I like that sometimes. But when I shut that computer off and I come back and I open up Word Perfect again, I start typing, it's Times Roman again. Because the default setting is Times Roman. And some of your default setting is depression. Some of your default setting is the beat down attitude, the victim attitude. Some of your default setting, oh, come on, help me preach a little while. And you come to church, and God will lift you, and you'll leave here skipping. But the first thing that comes along, the old you steps back up. You don't need to change the font. You need to change the default setting. My default setting now is the mind of Christ. I think like Him. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And you may hit me, and I'm going to survive. I want to be so filled with the Holy Ghost that when the world squeezes me, nothing but the Holy Ghost comes out. That being my default setting. Whoa. I've watched hundreds pray on these altars. Hundreds, right past these. Hundreds. They're going to be a couple sinners going to pray on it tonight. I know it. You can cry. I've seen them cry so much on these altars that tears run down the altar. Didn't leave a puddle on top of the altar. Left a puddle on top of the altar that rolled over and left a puddle on the floor. I've come in here at midnight before to pray, and there was still a puddle of tears on the altar. But the same people that was on the altar right there, they're smoking crack before the night's out. I remember pastoring a church. My wife will remember it. She came to that altar and she prayed for probably an hour. She wept. I've never seen anybody weep more. When she got done praying, she's still on her knees, still on the altar. She grabs the handkerchiefs and she begins to wipe her mouth and her eyes. And she looks up at me and she says, I'm a heart nut to crack. After an hour of emotion, after an hour of crying, an hour of weeping, she still did not change her mind. And you may come tonight and you may cry some poly want to crack a prayer, but you got to want to serve Him. You got to want to love Him. You got to give Him everything. You can't just serve Him with a little bit. You got to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You got to get a change of mind. I'm going to share one more with you, and we're going to go home. I watched that boy. He's rich. He's got everything he could possibly want. He got a silver spoon in his mouth, as old saying goes. He's got an older brother who crosses all the T's, dots all the I's, does everything just right. And the youngest son decides that he doesn't want to be under the thumb of his father anymore. It's not greed. He wants power. And so he goes to his father and he says, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now, some of you will know this story by the term, the title, the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. And I watched that boy. I'm standing on the outside. I know it's a parable, but Jesus was telling them a story about things that they could relate to. Jesus had seen this happen over and over. I want to scream into the word, and I want to tell that prodigal son, if you do this, you're going to end up in a world of trouble. If you go this route, you're going to end up in more trouble than you ever. But he wouldn't listen to me. I don't think the father just easily, he had to. It was part of the custom. He had to give him what fell to him. I believe the father would have tried to talk him out of it. But he says, no. Give me what's mine. I'm out of here. And he takes his money. He takes his possessions. And the Bible says he goes into the far country. He goes into the far country. I don't have time to preach this all out. But I like the way it says far country. Because you and I need to know that when you leave God, You're far from protection. You're far from safety. You're here right now. You don't serve God. All day long you've been a sinner. But you've been saying, if I could just get to church tonight, if I could just get to church, I'll give my heart to Jesus. You got that right, because it's miserable out there. You're far from joy. You're far from peace. And God's got a wealth of peace tonight. Oh yeah, I know you have a hard time sleeping now, but God will rock in the bosom of his arm, and you'll sleep like a baby. Would somebody in Revival Tabernacle shout amen? Help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah. He says, I'm taking it anyway. I'm out of here. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back. And so he goes, and he goes to the far country, and he's far from his daddy. He's far from his mama. He's far from his house. And now he's got money, so he's spending it up, and he's living it up, and he's spending it on the harlots, and he's got prostitutes, and he's got whatever the drugs were of that time, and he's living it up, and he's drinking it up, and he's having a wonderful time. But see, the problem with spending money is if you don't make any money, you run out. I said, the problem with spending money and not making money is you can have real fun for a long time, but one evening you're going to stand up and you're going to go right up check, and it's going to bounce. You're going to say, what happened? And they're going to say, you got no money, and no money, no funny. Shout amen, saints. He spends everything he has. Oh, you can get some friends when you got money. You can get some friends when you got a dime bag and a fifth of Jim Beam. But when the money's gone and the drugs are gone and the liquor's gone, you'll find yourself laying on your back in a ditch somewhere. It's asking somebody to help you. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll hold you longer than you want to stay. It'll make you pay more than you can afford. And all your friends, they will get up and leave you sitting where you're at. I remember Jeff Oswald telling the story. I've never forgot about it. He said that he has three or four of his big buddies, redneck country boy cowboys, and it was a little Toyota, a Chevette. Is that a Toyota? Oh, Lord, that ain't American made, is it? Oh, Jesus. All right, it was a Chevette. Yeah, I remember now, Chevette, Chevrolet, go ahead and make fun of me. Brother Jeff said they was driving by in their big truck, and they shook their fists at the Chevette. They said them jokers started flashing their headlights, and they pulled over. And he said, I didn't know that they could put the whole football team in a Chevette. My God, he said they started rolling out of the Chevette and they didn't stop. He said, I braced myself. He said they started whooping on me, and I looked around and one of my buddies was in the car with the doors locked, and another one ran out there into the woods, and after they beat his face in, he came back with a stick. He said, where'd they go? My God, that's the way friends are. That's the way the world is. That's what happened to the prodigal son. He said, I'm having a good time, but I'm telling you, it's going to run out. My. And so now he's hungry. So the Bible says he joins himself to a citizen of that country, and he begins to feed the swine. He's a Jew. It's not lawful for him to feed the swine. He can't eat pork. He can't touch pig. But he's in the hog pen. He's sloshing around in the slop, and he's feeding the hogs, and the hogs are eating better than he's eating. And he says to myself, man, the husk that them swine are eating, I think I'll get a little bite of that. Now that's how far he went. He went from the father's house to the pig pen. People always ask me if I'm rich. Do I look rich? Maybe. I feel rich. I'm so broke my bank account laughs at me. I try to write a check and he just laughs. I don't even have checks anymore. That's the truth. I feel good. I don't need money to have what I got. I got my 8-year-old suit on. Brother Tom thought it was brand new. You listening to me? It's an 8-year-old suit I paid $75 for. I've preached 100 times in this suit. Somehow or another, God has worked it out to where a man thought this suit was a brand new suit. You listening to me? I don't need money. I got God. What I have, you can't replace it with anything. The joy that I have, it's not based upon things. It's not based upon circumstance. It's not based upon situation. It's based upon the fact that the joy of the Lord courses through my veins. And I can go to bed tonight so filled with the Holy Ghost that if God comes for me tonight before I wake, I don't have to be afraid, because I am sheltered safely in the arms of God. And my question is for you tonight, where are you? Are you lost? Are you undone? Do you want joy? Do you want peace? I said, do you want peace? Come on down. Something's going to happen to this boy. He's sloshing around in pig manure, man. It's a fact. You got to be hungry when you want to eat the husk, the corn husk, at the swine. Big old pig eating a nasty old corn husk. And he says, he ain't even laughing. He's broke down. He's stupid. He should have stayed, but he didn't. And I don't know why we do some of the things we do. I graduated, what was it, magna cum laude in the school of stupid. I got 7 degrees. I've done so many stupid things. You know how stupid he feels now? Can you imagine? I want you to think about this. He's got nobody. He's got no friends. He's got nothing. He's sitting here. Now he falls down in the mud and he's finished. And oh man, the Word of God says something so powerful. It said he came to himself. Now, there's power in that text right there, and I don't really have time to dive in. Some of y'all couldn't even handle it if I did. He came to himself. Same person had always been there. He always had the capacity. He always had the ability to turn, but he wouldn't, and he didn't. And it whittled him down, and it whittled him down, and it whittled him down, and it whittled him down. Now he stinks. Now he stinks. He's got the stench of swine on him. And he's in a place now that he has nowhere to go, nowhere to run. But he comes to himself now. I'm talking about your mind. I'm talking about the power of change in your mind. He's going to have a mind change now. Nothing has changed yet. The situation is exactly the same. He's still in a pig pen. He still smells like swine. He's still hungry. He's still messed up. But something happens in his mind. He says, something wrong with this picture. I'm sitting in a pig pen. I'm sitting in a hog pen. And down the road is my father's house, where the servants are laying down in dry beds, where the servants are eating well. And here I sit in a hog pen. You know what I'd like to see tonight? I'd like to see you change your mind. I'd like for you to understand that the hog pen can't hold you unless you decide to sit there. But tonight's the night. You got to stand up and say, yeah, I'm going back. I'm going back to the Father's house. I'm getting up from here. I'm leaving it all behind. I smell like pig. I stink like swine. But I've got my mind made up. I'm going back home. And he gets his stinking self up. He looks exactly the same. He looks exactly the same. Except one thing. His countenance has changed. He looks like I do. And people say, Brother Lamb ain't got nothing going on. I got all kinds of stuff going on. But I got my mind made up. I'm on my way to heaven. I've had to go through some stinky stuff. I've made some bad decisions. But the answer was always the same. My situation didn't control me. My family didn't control me. The bills didn't control me. It was always in my mind. It was always my decision. And I need to tell you now, you may have to go back to where you came. You may have to go back to a mess. But you can go back with a new mind. You can go back with a new determination. You can go back there with the power of the Holy Ghost in you so strong that when them demons reach out to get you and try to take your mind, you say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You can't have my mind. My mind's made up. I'm going home. My mind's made up. I'm going back to the Father's house. You need to get up now. You need to get up now and make your way to God. Make your way to the Father's house. Make your way back to where God is waiting on you tonight. Whoa. I woke up this morning. I chose to be happy. I made up my mind. Today, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what I woke up this morning. I said, today, I'm going to walk in Jesus. Today, I'm going to be full of His Word. My God, the enemy has taken my stuff. Yes, he has. I was there when he pulled up behind my old car, the new one I just bought. And I saw him lift the back end of it up and toot, toot. And left me sitting without any food in the cabinets. You remember? I didn't say some food. I didn't say spam and potted meat. I said they took my car and we had nothing. Well, all except God. Did I cry? I cried. Did I wonder? I wondered. Did I question God? Yes. Did I get the newspaper out and start flipping through the wanted section? I did. Was there times I questioned God's call? Yes. There was times I said, God, I don't understand why you're doing this. Why? The saints of God, I'm standing here 20 years later, and I don't question God's wisdom. I don't question what He did. I'm glad that 20 years ago when I got saved, I made up my mind. And not that I'm going to serve God as long as things are going well. I made up my mind. I'm going to serve God. Come hell or high water, thick or thin, up or down, mountain or valley. And so when I'm on the mountain, I can dance a little bit. When I'm in the valley, I'll cry a little bit. But the one thing that you're going to find out about the lambs is when the morning comes, we will be safe in the arms of God. Oh yeah, the enemy's going to come. But you gotta make up your mind. God has called me. God has blessed me. God is with me. And I refuse to let the enemy steal what God has given me. Stand across the house. I went through a season of my life. The only thing that kept me going was a call to preach. I look back now, and that wasn't a good thing. But the enemy told me a lot of stuff. But he couldn't convince me I wasn't called to preach. Because preaching is not what I do. This is what I am. And even when I thought I would quit preaching, and I said to my wife, how many times? I'm just going to go join a church. pay my tithes, sit on the back row, and be the greatest lay member that ever was. You know what she did? She laughed. Because I can't quit preaching any more than I can quit breathing. I can't stop being a Christian. It's what I am. And there have been a few times I had to come to myself. What am I thinking? What is going through my mind? I think I'll go back home. Now, God's been dealing with your heart today. I needed to preach longer. I needed to preach about some more things, but I'm done sitting in the hog pen. And you stink. You stink of pain. You stink of misery. The only thing between you and the Father's house is you change in your mind. Some of you come in here, some of you saints, come in here so low, so beat down. You got so much junk going on in your life, and all you can see is the junk. You've got to come to yourself, because you're bigger than this. You're better than this. You're more anointed than this. You're more powerful than this. But you don't understand. I don't have to understand what you're going through. I understand who I'm talking about, and his name is Jesus. I'm understanding that there's one here tonight that can turn your life around. There's one here tonight that'll go home with you right now. There's one here tonight that'll let you come on down. I'll show you what he'll do. He'll kill the fatty. You robe on you, you on you. Are you listening to me? He'll take your dirty feet and clean them off and put new shoes on your feet. That's what God will do. I know your old husband beat you up, but God's got love for you. I know your children turned their back on you. I know your wife walked out on you, but God says, come, I'll heal you. I'll love you. I'll feel you. Come on back. Change your mind. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you, as humbly and as boldly as I possibly can, do not let one lost man escape this house, one lost woman escape this house tonight. I pray for the saints of the Lord. They've come in here and they're surrounded, and hell has been unleashed on them, and now their mind is wandering. And now they're beginning to wonder, can I make it? Can I make it? I pray that they come to themselves tonight and that they understand that no matter what they're going through, greater is he that's in them than he that's in them. Father, you'll rise up in them. You'll give us power over the enemy. You'll give us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. And so, God, I'm asking you for saint and sinner alike, that we'll come to you, we'll stand up out of depression and say, I can't stay here anymore. That we'll stand up with that issue, that anger and that bitterness, and say, I can't lay in this pulpit anymore. I pray over the saints of God tonight, that they'll shake off a spirit of a victim spirit. I'm cast down. I'm beat down. I'm no good. I pray that they stand up right now and shake it off and say, I may not look like much, but God is in me. The hope of glory is in me. I'm a child of God. His royal blood flows through my veins. I pray over a father that's in the house that he won't give up on his children. I pray over a mother in the house that she won't give up on her babies, but she'll rise up out of doubt and say, I'm going back to the Father. I'm going back to God. I'm going to let him heal me. I'm going to let him feel me. I'm going to let him help me. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. But I got to get up and move. I pray over the lost men and women in the house and lost. They're just surviving right now. And they summit came to this house and said, I've just got to get to church. I got to make a change. And now it's time. And I pray in the name of Jesus that they'll rise right now and take a step out of them pews and come. If I could get you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I need to talk. That's right. Come on. That's right. I'm so cast down, Pastor. I'm so beat down. I don't know what direction to go. Yeah, God's going to save tonight. You don't know the situation, Pastor Lamb. You don't know how my marriage is. Pastor Lamb, you don't know where I'm at. I don't, but that's why I talk about Jesus, because Jesus knows right where you're at. He knows and He cares and He has a remedy. God save her in the name of Jesus. I'm not staying here anymore. I'm like no four lepers, Pastor. Why sit we here till we die? I can't stay in this mindset anymore. I can't stay in this frame of mind anymore. I'm a child of God. I was born to be victorious. I was born to be powerful. I was born to be used by God. I was born to do things for Him. I wasn't born to stay here. I wasn't born to lay down. I wasn't born to quit. I wasn't born to die in this hog pen. I'm getting up now and I'm moving. I'm getting up. I'm moving. These altars are open. Everyone at will, let's find us a place to pray. Hey, some folk in the house that need to change your mind, to change your heart. It needs to happen right now. In the name of Jesus, it needs to happen right now. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give my life to Him. I'm going to serve Him in the beauty of holiness. I'm going to walk in His power. I'm going to walk in His life. I'm going to walk in His light. I choose to become a prayer warrior. I choose to be a Bible man. I choose to be a student of the Word of God. I choose to be loving. I choose to be compassionate. I choose to be the pastor, the preacher, the man of God that God has called me to be. I choose to be the husband that God has called me to be. I choose to be the wife, the father that God has called me to be. I'm not going to wake up and go to bed a blunder and wake up a wonder. I've got to rise. I've got to change my mind. And somebody's going to change their mind tonight. Somebody's going to make up their mind. Everything that God has called me to be, I'm rising right now. I'm going to become everything that God has called me to be. It's a matter of changing your mind. I need you to be reverent. We're still having an altar call. If you need to talk, you need to leave or go outside and fellowship. People are doing business with the King tonight. And those that are still here, you need to pray. You need to seek the face of God. We need to keep our minds upon the Lord. He's going to do something wonderful tonight. He's going to do something glorious. Let's stay reverent. My God.